the Doctor.
It's clobbering time.
Engage.
Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
Welcome, everybody, to issue 55 of the Heroes Asylum, or just Heroes Asylum. I am Captain Mike, your host, co-host, all those goody thingies. I've got Kane here with me, like always. How you doing, my friend?
Hello, 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 hello. Happy Sunday.
Yes, folks, thank you very much. I want to say thank you. Greetings to everybody. I know there's millions of podcasts out there, guys. You chose to listen to us. We want to thank you, thank you, thank you for subscribing, downloading, checking us out. Make sure heroesasylum.com where you can find everything to do with us. So how you been, man? You had a good weekend?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been catching up a lot on the reads, checking some trailers out. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see Birds of Prey. I think we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Just catching up on a lot of stuff, especially reading wise. Had a huge back catalog, and I think, you know, funny thing, when we go to Acme, or I go to Acme, I always go and get my box, which I have a subscription to, and see what I've been missing, because sometimes I'll miss a couple weeks here and there because, you know, just work or just other stuff that's going on. Yeah. And exactly. Well said. And, you know, there's a lot of books in there that I had to catch up on, and a couple back issues. So I just good to catch up finally after a long week of work. So
I understand that. That's why I'm a fan of my Comicology.
I'm not there yet. I'm going to be the old man in the room. I want my physical copies.
Trust me, I still like my physical copy, but that way I can still at least stay up to date. And then there's like, man, I really dig that book. I want to, like, you know, throw a little bit more support in there. I mean, I'm still paying my price, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've had discussions before. I've always liked that texture feel. You know, you can feel that actually, or when I get an omnibus, which I haven't gotten in a long time, but that's one I could just, you know, pick up. It's a heavy thing and scroll through it, flip to the page and see what I have, what did I miss. It's just one of those things that maybe eventually I'll turn the other leaf. I use Comicology for some, but not there yet.
Yeah. I actually tried to go find the omnibus that somebody had accidentally put in your box for Constantine. I know it'd been a couple of weeks since you talked about it, but I went in there like a week or two later.
Gone.
Gone. Yeah. Like, hey man, yeah. Kane had a book in here, and they're like, gone. I'm like, man, I was interested in that one.
That's the thing that pissed me off too, because it was in there. I was like, it wasn't what I wanted, but I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, I really should pick this up.
Well, that's what I was thinking, man. If I can pick it up, you can borrow.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know, we could throw it back and forth, but nothing there. All right. So what we do here on our weekly podcast, Kane and I sit down, talk about everything in the geek community, movies, trailers, TV shows, comic books that come out, sometimes a little different things. But every once in a while, we do have to do this. We do have to have our memorial section. Nobody in the industry of, as far as the comic book world or anything like that, but a couple of big icons growing up for me, and I'm sure for Kane and for a lot of people, have passed away. I know they always say, you know, the celebrity deaths come in three. And well, we had a few big ones here. Starting with Kevin Conway, 77. He was an actor, Gettysburg, 13 Days, Invincible. If I don't know if anybody's ever seen any of those,
Gettysburg.
Yeah. But yeah, now he passed away on February 5th, heart complications, heart attack. So, you know, thoughts go out to his family. He was on Next Generation. He was a legendary Klingon. He was the figure of Kalis during the Next Generation. So, you know, I guess in that aspect, he does fall into our category being there. But yeah, he was, I do remember him. He was one of those few character actors, Lawnmower Man 2, he was in, Black Knight. So he's been around.
Yeah. That legendary movie, Lawnmower Man 2.
Yes. He was also in the Elephant Man, the 1982 TV movie, The Elephant Man. So
I don't remember that one. I'll have to go back. I remember the movie with, William Hurt, but I don't remember the TV movie.
And so, yeah, so he did pass away. We also had Robert Conrad. For me, huge fan of Black Sheep. And then it turned into a Black Sheep Squadron. It was like one of those ones I always remember seeing it. You know, if I ever had to stay home sick from school, it was usually on the afternoon, you know, replays of Gomer Pyle and stuff like that. Baba Black Sheep or Black Sheep Squadron, you know, was always on there. But, you know, another great actor. passed away. He passed away actually on the 8th of February. You know, television actor, singer. He also known for playing for the Wild Wild West.
Oh, okay.
He played James T. West on that show or movie. And then after that, we had a big one, Kirk Douglas.
Spartacus himself.
Himself, that's right. He, I mean, 103 years old. That's just, I mean, just amazing life to do that. And just this, the career he had, too. You know, also the father of Michael Douglas, you know, famous for, you know, Michael Douglas, Joel, Peter, and Eric. But Michael's probably the more famous of them all. Yeah, he passed away February 5th. And I believe it was, I don't know if they said why. I mean, he 108 is, or 103.
Probably natural cause.
103 is probably a good enough reason for passing away. But yeah, known for, like you were saying, Spartacus, Paths of Glory, 7 Days of May. In fact, most people don't realize, but he revisited Spartacus in a 1990s TV series.
Did he?
Yes. Xena, the Warrior Princess, in the episode of Athens Academy of the Performing Bards. Try to say that three times fast.
Ouch. Tongue
twister. Yeah, but he actually revisited the role of Spartacus.
I have to watch that again. I don't remember him being on there. Was it like a main, like a flashback role? I'm assuming.
He was playing a Spartacus in Xena. It was. Oh. Yeah, it was one of their episodes. And that one was an interesting one. I remember seeing it. I'm like, hey, isn't he the? Oh, okay, yeah, it is. Huh. But yeah, so yeah, moment of silence for those folks. I know we don't do these that often, but you know, I think those three, just their careers alone, and I know you can't call them major actors. They, you know, they're not on the level of, you know, big famous actors, but they are ones that have been around. I mean, Spartacus alone, from a movie standpoint. The scene that the chariot race from that movie alone is iconic by itself. If anybody talks about great movies and the AFA annals, you know, top 100, you usually are going to see a clip of that. So
that's, it's pretty much going to be on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on an airplane as well, if I remember.
No, that was not him. That was,
Him?
No, I'm trying to remember the gentleman that did that. Yeah, hold on. Oh, Bridges, that's who you're thinking about. You're thinking.
Okay,
about
see, that's all right.
Yeah. They're both in that same age, you know, same age, and they, you know, both famous sons. So, yeah. I can understand your confusion there.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, so guys, yeah, we just, you know, just wanted to have a moment with them. Big bag of wind, as Kevin Smith would say.
Yep.
Trailers broke. There are a couple of big trailers that broke. You got the Minion trailer that broke this week, but also. Three that really grabbed my attention, and I thought maybe, I don't know if you've seen them yet or not, but we'll start off with The Invisible Man, the up-and-coming science fiction horror film written by Leo Wallen. Basically, it's just a modern reimagination of, you know, the H.G. Wells story. And did you get a chance to see that?
Actually, I did. I was kind of like on the fence about this. I heard that they were doing it. It's not connected to that Dark Universe thing anymore, which, thank God. When I saw it, I was kind of fascinated how they're going with it. It's like very old school mixed in with a little bit of new, but it's almost like they're claiming that he's dead, but, you know, of course he's the Invisible Man, so he's alive. So he's basically, you know, just screwing around with her life, you know, making it miserable, which I thought was a very interesting turn to do it. Making her seem like she's going insane.
Yeah.
But that tactic is not something I would have thought they would have went for, but I think it kind of works for this. It kind of adds that new element. It makes it more fresh.
Yeah, of course. Apparently it's trapped in a violent, controlling relationship with wealthy, brilliant scientist Cecilia Cass, who's Elizabeth Moss, escapes in the dead of the night and disappears into hiding with the aid of her sister and their childhood friend. And the teenage daughter, then Cecilia's abusive ex commits suicide, leaves her a generous portion of his vast wealth, but she suspects his death was a hoax, like you were kind of saying. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the breakdown I found from Wikipedia about it. But yeah, I was at first like, oh, really? Because I think you and I had talked about it, like hearing about it coming down the pike. I'm like, eh, I don't know if I'm going to be into it. But then when I saw it, I actually was one of those rare trailers where I actually got kind of goosebumps watching, you know, especially the handprint on the shower.
Yeah, the handprint in the shower scene, that was freaky.
Yeah. And I guess that's one of the things you and I are different on. I actually was hoping to for the continuation of that dark universe. I really thought it was going to be, I thought that was a smart idea to build off of their properties already and just continue. So I just think it was a bad first outing. I think they should have at least tried it again instead of just like killing it off instantly.
Yeah, they gave up a little bit too quickly, yeah, but you know, they just panicked, went to panic mode. But you know, Blumhouse always does good stuff.
Oh yeah.
With
yeah.
horror movies, so oh, yeah. you know
everything that they've done. I mean, I can't. That's another one, you know, that's coming down the pike. It's no new trailer for it or anything, but the Fantasy Island movie. I mean, that just looks ridiculous.
It like nothing like the show. Nothing. I mean, in name alone, that's all it is. But it has like a creepy horror vibe. Like, oh, so you're gonna take it and you're gonna twist it.
Well, to me, I always took that. I always took Fantasy Island as more creepy. Some people are like, no, I took it as lighthearted. I go. I watch it and I remember about watching it, it was always the bad thing that could have happened. It wasn't that, oh, I'm going to get what I wanted, I'm going to be rich. Da, da, da. It was always that tale of, whoa, hey, be careful what you wish for. And they're taking it to the umpteen level.
Yeah, big time. It's a different turn. I don't know when that movie comes out, but I definitely want to check that out. It looks interesting.
Next one I have is The Jesus Rolls.
Didn't see that one. You're going to have to tell me.
Okay. Well, are you a fan of The Big Lebowski at all?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
If not, we would have to.
I think I did see this trailer.
Yeah. It's
he's getting out of jail.
Yeah. But it's John Turturro. Okay. It's basically a sequel or a spinoff to The Big Lebowski, but also it's a remake of a 1974 French film called Going Places. And it's basically what Going Places was like it follows a trio of sexually depraved misfits. And they're just kind of traveling around. And, of course, John Turturro, Bobby Cavanaugh, and Audrey Tautou. I believe I butchered the name on that one. But that's the three that are in there. So it's not a direct sequel, but it's a spinoff of Big Lebowski. Not done by the Coen brothers. But it's something Turturro was like, hey, I want to do this. And I guess they gave him the blessing to continue with the character, which I think is awesome.
You know, if they're not using it, you know, might as well give it to a really world-class actor and see what he can do.
If you're done with the character, you have no more ideas, but somebody else does and somebody you know is going to treat the character right, always give his blessing and let's see what happens. It's not going to ruin your movie. I mean, by no stretch of imagination could something ruin The Big Lebowski.
No. I mean, that could never happen.
I just don't see anything. And then the third and final trailer that I saw this week, and I was excited. I did not hear about this at all, was Spiral from the book of Saw. It's supposed to be the ninth installment to the Saw franchise, but not a direct sequel, almost a kind of like a spinoff, I guess, like the Jesus Rolls.
Like a spiritual sequel, something like that. But yeah, it does.
And it's basically, it's a working in the shadows, an esteemed veteran, Samuel Jackson, brash new detective played by Chris Rock, and a new rookie partner, take charge in a grisly investigation, and basically it's something to tie in with the Saw murders.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I mean, I think Chris Rock is directing or producing it. I forgot what it was, but is he director?
I believe he was director on it. Yeah,
which is kind of a weird thing. And then I saw the trailer. I'm like, ooh, okay. It's kind of like one of those things when they kept rehashing. I don't know if you remember. Well, you probably do. Many, many, many years ago. It was almost like a tradition on Halloween. There's a new Saw movie. And the Saw movies became so, you know, paint by the numbers, the same thing. It was like torture porn. Every year, another Saw movie, Saw 6, Saw 7. And it got to a point where I was just sawed out. No pun intended. But then when I saw this trailer, it had those same Saw vibes, but I didn't know it was actually connected to Saw until like the very end.
I take that back. Chris Rock is not director or producer. He actually wrote the story.
Okay. I knew he was involved somehow.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks interesting. I was a big Saw fan. I mean, they got away from me, I believe. You know, I think after like the fourth one, I'm like, we're done now. It turned into, you know, Friday the 13th. You know, I was like, okay, not another one, please.
And I think the second one got away. After that, I was like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, let me see if I can one up this. Let me see if I can one up that. But again, I'm looking forward to it. It looks different. I mean, for Chris Rock, I mean, you got to think with his career and where, you know, where has he been lately? He really, I don't think he's done much except maybe a lot of behind the scenes shows. I'm trying to think.
No, he hasn't done much. I think it's like you said, yeah.
Can't really think of him doing much recently, so I'm kind of happy to see and he's aged well. I think he's one of those actors that it seems to have aged well and progressed into a different type of character now.
Yeah, well, that usually happens, especially with comedians. They always like transition, and I think that's what's happening to Adam Sandler right now too. Is he's getting away from those stupid goofy comedies and he's kind of transitioning to more of a dramatic role, and you know that works. A lot of comedians do end up doing well. Robin Williams being one, Sandler being probably another one right now. There's a couple others, but usually if you got the comedic chops, Jim Carrey, you can transition pretty well into a dramatic career. So it looks like that's where Chris Rock is headed to.
Jim Carrey had a few bad moments trying to be a serious actor.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, couple. I think he tried to make it. It didn't quite work out. But those are the trails I saw. I did see that there was a Minion one out, but it's Minions. I mean, we're all going to go see the Minions. I like the Minions. I can check my brain out at the door. I can just have fun and just laugh at them.
Yep, that's pretty much. You pretty much just wrap up the trailer as a nutshell. That's really what it was.
Completely fine with that. So, all right. So what we're going to go ahead and do, like I said, it was just kind of our little trailer breakdown. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Missions Ward, which is our news segment. Kay and I are going to bounce back and forth with news, give our opinions, our thoughts on some of the things. So let's go ahead and jump into that.
News from the Missions Ward.
All right. So I guess we can talk about the elephant in the room since this is opening weekend for the Birds of Prey. And you and I have had talks, you know, over the last, you know, month or so about the Birds of Prey. Looks as though Birds of Prey domestically for the weekend will end up breaking at 33.3 million. Not what they were hoping for. I think the low ball was they were thinking at least 45.
I thought it was 50, about
that. Well, no. 50 was their ideal. Low ball was like, maybe if it gets really bad, 45 was their goal. So, budget of $97.1 million. So, you know, definitely didn't do a dent there. But I know the news everywhere, everybody's going, oh, it failed. That was just domestically. Worldwide, they've made 81.
And that's just the first week, so it's going to make it budget back.
It's almost there, so it's not a big deal. And I just think a lot of people are attacking it for what it is, and I have to be honest, and it's something you and I have talked about a lot. We already knew what it was going to be. I don't know why everybody's screaming, holy hell, about it's woke on bad, blah blah blah. Yes, that's what they advertised it as. They advertised it for one person or one type of I don't want to say person. I'm sorry about that. It's not what I meant, but they were aiming for a certain demographic, and that demographic isn't big on hero movies and superhero movies. So, I mean, they, you and I had to talk. I was like, yeah, it's not going to do great, but they're aiming at a certain group. And that's kind of what happened. It's kind of what we both had already said is going to happen.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, we mapped it out for months before the movie was even released. I even said in the article, like Ewan McGregor said, hey, this is basically a feminist movie. Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's what it is. And that's what it's going to be. And, you know, some of the female geeks out there, you got to support these movies when they come out. You can't just sit there and talk and just like, oh, yeah, you know, girl power and all that. But you know what? If you don't go to watch it, they're going to make less and less of these movies, and you're going to keep asking for more. And that's
the problem. And I'm perfectly fine that they made the movie. I just hope that.
Oh, I had no issue either. I'm glad.
I haven't seen yet. Again, it's just the weekend, but I haven't seen any backlash from anybody in the studio or Margot or Ewan or anybody going, oh, well, the men didn't go out and support it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping I don't, because I'm giving them a little bit more credit. Or I'm giving them credit before it's happened, but I just hopefully they don't. Hopefully they understand that they marketed it to a certain group, comic book fans. Some will go. I mean, I'm gonna go. I just to be honest, this weekend was just not the weekend. Next weekend, I'm kind of planning.
Yeah, pretty much same here. I'm gonna go see it probably next Saturday. I'm taking a day. I'm going away next Saturday. Probably didn't know that, but head out of town. I'll probably see it then. Like I said, I didn't want to see it this weekend. I had no intention to see it. You know, it wasn't one of those rush to the theaters movies because it hasn't piqued my interest.
Well, I was going to, but my my movie buddy was busy, so they were not able to make it because we were going to try to go because we try to do a Thursday movie like when it comes out so we can catch it right off the bat, and they had work situations. So so yeah, definitely I want to go see it. I still want to go see this movie. I understand what I'm walking into. I understand it's supposed to be hard feminism, everything like that. Not hard feminism, but a feminist,
pro-feminist movie. Yeah.
I think also if the one thing I think that you and I talked about it, and again, we still have to see why they look the way they are, but the costumes of those characters, I think was the big turnoff for a lot of people. I think if they would have stuck to, you even said this was, the traditional or close to the traditional costume of some of the three, of the Birds of Prey, that we might have gotten more people wanting to join.
I
think they changed too much. I understand change is good. You need to change. You don't want to do exactly it, but there's certain things you want to keep. And I think they just went so far in left field to say, a lot of people weren't into it.
I'll tell you what it was. It's called Harley Quinn and the Emancipation of Harley Quinn, whatever. And I think what the issue was, when you have a character like Harley Quinn, she can wear those wild and insane type of outfits and get away with it because she's Harley Quinn. But I think what they try to do is they try to bleed that to the rest of the cast, and it doesn't work for Renee Montoya. It doesn't work for the Huntress. It doesn't work for the Black Canary. Those type of outfits don't work for them at all. They should have just been more traditional with them, kept it basically what it was. They could have even done basic black with a hint of purple or something. But those characters are not bright and bombastic like Harley is.
Well, the other characters weren't bright and bombastic. Their outfits were just not normal looking.
But they were colorful, though.
I'm looking at them right now. Not
really. Look at Black Canary. She has like that gold crop top on. Gold
to it, but that's about it. I mean, but the rest is pretty dark. I mean, like I said, I just think it was so outside the realm. I'm probably going to get some hate mail when I do this, but I've got to say it. For being a feminist movie, they were selling a lot of sex appeal in this. There's a lot of skin on this, on what these girls are wearing.
Yep.
I would have thought, being a more feminist style movie, and they would stick to the more traditional one, because honestly, the traditional costumes for these ladies is pretty covering. I mean, they're a little low crop, but Black Canary is not. That's not what Black Canary usually wears. No. I don't know. I think that's what threw me off a little bit, was just that. So, but again, I'm going to save my review for another time. I have not seen it. I just wanted to put out there, kind of what the news is breaking for it right now, that the budget is, what it's been doing. And I know the news out there is going to take the worst number and present it out there. Yeah, 33 million domestically, but worldwide, it's almost made back its budget. So yeah. I'm not seeing it as a flop. It's not the worst DC movie. They're calling it the worst DCEU movie, but it's not the worst DC comic book movie. I think relegated and will continually be held by Jonah Hex movie. All right. So for worst opening weekend. I think
that's a curse word. People like to forget that.
That only made like 15, 17 million, I think, opening weekend. And again, that broke my heart. I'm a huge Jonah Hex fan. And when I thought that was, I was hoping it would do much better than that, but that's what we got.
Thank God the Legends of Tomorrow redeemed him. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's had redeeming moments other places, but yeah, it was just, the movie I don't think is all that bad. Brolin, I thought, did an amazing job. I just think the writing, and I just don't know what it is with DC that it doesn't convert well to big screen. I really, it always scratches my head. There's just like,
well, that's normally producers sometimes. Yeah. They get in the way. They're like, oh, why do we have to copy the comic book?
They can't be the producers because it's happening.
Sometimes it is.
But no, it cannot. The only reason I'm saying it can't be is because we have a section of movies right now that have been made by a bunch of different producers. So it can't be producers. It can't be. There can't be that many bad producers out there, and they all work for DC. That's all I'm saying. If it was a series of three movies, they all had the same producer. Yes, gotcha. It's their fault. But when you have a series of movies over the last 10 years that have different producers, different directors, and they're still not making the mark in pulp culture like other movies are in the same genre, you have to wonder what is it? Is it the culture that's not wanting those type of superheroes or what? I mean, I'm not sure. I'm just saying a question. So, hey, if anybody has an answer or a suggestion or anything, hit us up on Facebook or you can go ahead and email us over at heresasylumpodcast@gmail.com and throw out your suggestions. Is it society or is it because of the type of characters they are? Because these guys are the true lexicons of superheroes. When people think superheroes, you think of the Holy Trinity that Kane and I talk about: Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. And for some reason, they're just not landing. Wonder Woman did. I mean, that was just hands down, amazing.
That was great.
But the other two just aren't hitting like they used to. So just kind of throw it out there. See what you got. Yeah. Let me know what you guys think on, like I said, Facebook, Twitter. Hit us up. So what do you got? I'm sorry, I've been running my mouth off.
No, it's okay. That's part of your job. I got a rumor, I guess it's 99.9% confirmed, or 90%. Sam Raimi, he might be taking over the reins of Doctor Strange 2. And I've also read through the interwebs that some people really, really like this, and some people really, really hate this. And I can understand the hate. Raimi hasn't done much directing. I mean, he's done, I think he did Ash vs. Evil Dead, a couple short films. Been more behind the scenes type of guy. But I think for where he's come from, everybody's going to say, well, the Spider-Man trilogy, that. But coming from a horror background that he does with the Evil Dead stuff, and you're going to throw him into an MCU film, I think it's perfect. I think he could kick ass at this film. He adds those little Raimi-isms in there. He's going to work pretty well with Feige because I think him and Feige go way back. I think it's perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And I hope this is true. Hopefully they sign, it's not official, but it's 90% done, so it's almost there. But like I said, this choice to me came out of nowhere, but I am pleasantly surprised.
I'm not. I'm on the other side of the fence. Your examples of what makes him great to be on this kind of style makes him the reason why he's bad at it. When you think of Evil Dead, do you think horror?
Well, I think of a little horror, bit of campiness too.
I think more camp, and it does not need to be done. Doctor Strange does not need camp. It doesn't need straight horror either. It needs to have a small balance, and I just don't know if he's the one to do it. Like I said, I he's been away from the superhero world for a while. I get that. And there's good things that he did. I mean, he was, the birth, really. I mean, if you want to take it down, he was the birth of the superhero movies in this generation. My son, for example, Spider-Man, God forbid he wanted to be a Superman fan. No, he was all Spider-Man. As much as I tried to push and push and push and push, he just couldn't do it. But I just don't see Sam Raimi doing Doctor Strange well. I'd be too afraid. I mean, just thinking of his history. Yeah, Darkman was a good one. He had Darkman, the Evil Dead trilogy, but again, I throw Evil Dead into more of a horror camp. And then you think of some of the rest of the stuff he did. He was part of the Hercules and Xena series. I mean, you want to talk about camp. So
I think he'll do a solid job. He's working with Feige hand in hand, and they know each other pretty well. So I don't think he's going to select somebody to fail. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't think anybody selects anybody to fail. That's kind of redundant in a way. I just don't think he's the right man for the job. I don't think he'll go out there and try to butcher it. I just don't know if he's the right guy.
I think it'll be all right. I think it's a good solid pick. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some. What is that one car that shows up in all his movies? I think we'll get an appearance of that. Maybe someone on Bleecker Street. His brother, Bruce Campbell will make a cameo in the movie somewhere along the lines.
Yeah, I'm sure. And again, I don't want to see that.
I don't need that cheesy nod.
It was fun in Spider-Man. I don't want to see it in Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange needs to be on point because it is really the only original next to Captain Marvel. It's the only one that's left from the original Avengers trilogies coming out. When you really sit down and look at what's coming out. Thor's not really, because it's going to have, Jane Foster's Thor now. He is still, and he is supposed to be the link to apparently opening up the world to the Fantastic Four and to X-Men. His movie needs to be treated with kid gloves and have the right people in the right spot. And I just don't see it from him. Producer wise, I think he does a bang up job. Just his directing stuff, haven't been really big on his directing, because he really hasn't directed much in a long time. Oz, the Great and Powerful was his last movie, 2013. The rest of the time, he's been a producer. And like I said, producing, he's knocked it out of the park. Grudge 2, 30 Days of Night, Evil Dead, Poltergeist, The Grudge, Crawl. He's done an amazing job on those. But I just don't see, like I said, as a director, I don't see it.
I think it's going to be a good solid pick. Just give it a chance. I think he's going to surprise some people. I just got a feeling. You're away from that genre for long enough. You got to have some ideas.
Not always. Just because you've been away, don't mean you're going to come back good. And again, you have to realize he left. I mean, it's been over a decade, over like 13 years since he's the last time he did a Spider-Man movie. And we remember what happened to the last Spider-Man movie, right?
Yeah, okay. Sony screwed it up.
And let's not always say Sony. Remember, he
it was Sony.
He's the one out there shooting it too. So,
he was forced to put a lot of things in there he didn't want to put. So it was basically, hey, you either put this in there or you're fired. So
did they say you have to put a Saturday Night Fever montage in there?
I don't want to talk about that. Okay. I'm talking about other stuff. I don't even think about that horrible.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see that. I'm just.
So you think Doctor Strange is going to be walking on Bleecker Street doing a Saturday Night Live montage?
Who knows? I just don't want to see anything bad happen. That's all. Sorry. All right. Boy. So next one I have. This one kind of goes. It kind of ties into our Legends of the Long Box series, but it doesn't. At the same time, I think it's something interesting. I mean, a lot of us out there were 80s babies or folks that grew up in the 80s. But IDW, comic book publishers, the comic book series, these guys revitalize and put blood back into like the Transformers and the G.I. Joe and a lot of the great comic books that I grew up on that I loved that just kind of faded away with Marvel because they just didn't want to do them anymore. But IDW Publishing, who actually does something I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, but they're the makers of Lock and Key. But this year, they are doing a mashup of some of the most beloved properties in the 80s are coming together. Looks like May is launching, but they will have My Little Pony uniting with the Transformers in a 4-week crossover comic book. And I just had to get this out there because I was like, that's fun. I gotta read this, especially after when you look at what DC has done with He-Man and revitalizing He-Man and actually just literally going, we're gonna break the fourth wall here. You all are gonna get the jokes quickly, and I could see them doing that with My Little Pony and Transformers. If they can capture that essence that the new He-Man series that you and I both love, we can't say we don't love that one. I could see this being a lot of fun.
I'll tell you what, I was about to spit fire and venom right now when you mentioned those two people teaming up. But the minute you talked about the He-Man comic book is when I put the fire and the brimstone away.
I think what they recap, if they could recap.
That's like good. If they're going to do it like that, then I'm all about it.
Yeah. I've been reading, and you're probably gonna laugh at me, but I've been reading the Wonder Twins.
Really?
And it's hysterical.
On purpose?
On purpose, because I listened to another podcast and this one guy was talking. He's like, hey, I'm like issue 10 in this thing and it hasn't sucked yet. It's actually funny. And it's like, it's serious to a point, but it's funny at the same time. The way they treat the other superheroes, it's like over the top. Like the way they treat Superman is that stupid Boy Scout, you know, Batman also has his like cranky moments, but Wonder Woman's like the one that like, yeah, he gets that way, you know, during the daytime, you know, and it's just this kind of humorous on what they do, but you're following the Wonder Twins as they're being introduced to they're now interns at the Justice League, but in the meantime, they're having to deal with teenage issues, but it's just a fun book. I think I've slowly rediscovered fun comic books. And that's why I guess I'm kind of really looking forward to this one. Like I said, the He-Man one, it reignited my love of fun comic books.
Yeah,
we've been so enveloped in the darkness and the end of the world and half the galaxy is gonna vanish and all. To actually sit down and read a comic book because I want to laugh or I want to have fun. And that's when I saw this read on My Little Pony and the Transformers linking up, I was like, oh, this, I just can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to have that goofy fun that the Masters of the Multiverse has, and I'm all about it. And like IDW, you said, fun comic books are good.
IDW has done great at revitalizing and putting new life into the Transformers, into the G.I. Joe series. I mean, I've become a fan again of G.I. Joe because of how IDW has treated them, and the same thing with the Transformers. So I'm looking forward to it. But that's my piece of fluffy goodness I had to throw out there for you guys.
Interesting. I guess we can transition away from that to something that's very closely associated to Transformers. That's G.I. Joe. We got our first look as Henry Golden as the titular character, Snake Eyes, which will be coming out, I believe, next year sometime. I'm not sure if it's the summer or January. Hopefully.
I think it's like because they're so far into production right now. I don't think it'll hit the Christmas one. I think it'll be like first of the year, like, which I'm so looking forward to this.
You just got a little image of him walking towards a temple. I've seen a couple movies that Henry Golden is in. He's pretty solid, but not going to have too much dialogue in this movie. It's all about, you know, movement and action, and especially under that hood and mask, unless they're going to do like some flashbacks, which I think that's what they're going to do. They're probably going to go with his origin story.
Well, which, see, that's the thing. What origin story are you going to go
with? Yeah, that's the thing. There's
Snake Eyes has
so many. He has way too many origin stories.
Well, I would say way too many, but I know
he's got enough.
The one I grew up on was, you know, he was, again, this, you know, the 80s when we brought, you know, when I was reading G.I. Joe. So they equated it to the Vietnam War. So they would
probably, that's the one I remember. Yeah.
They would probably have to move it up to maybe if they're going to do nowadays, probably to do it more with, you know, with the Iraq War, and that he's a soldier out there, and that's he meets, you know, Stalker and meets, you know, Storm Shadow, and they become friends, and he loses his voice because of gunfire going across. So, and then he loses his family because, so, I mean, there's so much going on there. The G.I. Joe Retaliation one, I love those movies. I thought they were fun. They did the best they could with what they had. I wasn't expecting to see my people come alive from the comic books, because it's just sometimes that stuff's a little over the top.
Yeah, the whole origin story.
That origin story there was awful. Yeah, oof. Him as a kid and stuff. There were specks and pieces of the original one. So again, it all depends on what origin story are they going to do. If they do it to where he does have his voice and he loses his voice later on, then yeah, they're definitely going to have that. I just only thing I hope for and the only thing I ask is no fucking mouth on his mask, please.
Please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't ever do that again.
You have a mute character. Why would you need to even see his lips?
I mean, you could have like a mouth thing where he could breathe, but you know, you don't have to have the lips on there. That was a little silly.
To the comic book thing where it was slots, and it was a tactical mask that he basically.
Yeah, it was almost like a gas mask of some sort that they kind of like altered.
Yeah, so I don't know if it just maybe. I mean, I'm sure they did their runs. I know how the movie industry runs. They'll build like five or six different costumes and they'll try them out. Maybe something it didn't work right. It didn't look. I don't know.
Well, it's just one of those movies that, you know, kind of like the Joker, I didn't ask for. Will I see it? Yes. Am I interested to see it? Yes. I just want to see where they're going to go, because it's not tied to any of the movies, I don't think.
No.
I think it's reopening probably the new G.I. Joe universe for Hasbro now, I guess, because they have their own studio. So I'm just interested. I mean, curiosity. That's all.
Because they have talked that with the new Hasbro studio reintroducing, they're talking about redoing the G.I. or not G.I. Joe, but the Transformers series, redoing those. And there was talks, because there is a very large run of books that was G.I. Joe and Transformers together.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if they take the chance and try to do this. We'll see what happens.
If you're Hasbro, why not? Just go balls to the walls and just do it. You really have nothing to lose and everything to gain at this point.
Exactly.
So what you got for us, sir?
Well, actually, this is for you. Do you have any more news?
I got one more.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on. I had it right here. I just lost it. Spare with me for 1 second, folks. Oh, okay. Bob Iger has hinted at the possibility of spin-offs characters from The Mandalorian. I don't know if we've talked about this yet.
No, this is something that broke this week.
I like The Mandalorian for what it is. You know, we've talked about it's the gritty Western, it's the lone gunslinger across the galaxy meeting up with different people. It's almost like Kung Fu in space. That's what I kind of like, you know, compare it to. the whole thing of like creating characters just to spin them off into their own series is a little odd, a little pretentious too, because, you know, how do you know these characters are going to be well received? If any of the characters need to be spun off now, I mean, you could do a Cara Dune series if you wanted to. That's really the only one I can think of. What is the Eye of Spoken guy? Maybe you do a background series on him. I don't know. But it's just like the whole thing. Like, why? Look, you have something that's working in The Mandalorian. Why are you going to be, well, guess what? We're going to make these characters so they're going to have their own spinoffs. Like, how do you know? How do you know they're going to spin off from that?
You don't know. You don't know. He's talking out loud is what I think is happening. I read this, and I heard a couple other people make kind of the same comment you are. What I think he's doing is he's talking out loud. He's letting people in behind his mind. And this happens for everything. We don't know about it. But when people are, you know, put out a movie or put out a TV show, they may have hope. Hey, you know what? I would love to. I want to build something with that character. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. He's probably talking out loud going, hey, yeah, we want to do spinoffs and we're going to put people out there. But if they don't catch, they're not going to make them. I don't think it's a force thing. I think it's when I say force, I'm not saying Star Wars. I don't think he's trying to force us going, hey, you're going to like that person because we're going to make something out of him. But if it comes out and people don't like him, they're not going to make something out of it. I just think a lot of people are overreacting. I think this is something that happens all the time behind the scenes. We're just seeing it.
I don't know. Just seemed a little pretentious. I mean, I would agree with that statement. He probably was talking a little bit out loud.
I'm sure everybody does. We are just seeing too much behind the curtains nowadays than what we ever have.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
So I think that's all this is we're seeing more behind the curtain, and people are like, well, that sounds stupid. But how do you know that this hasn't happened all the time? This probably does happen all the time, that they create a character going, you know what, maybe we can do a spinoff off of this. Yes, you want your characters to happen organically. You want those kind of spinoffs to happen organically. I think probably the best one I've ever heard, when you really look at great spinoffs that succeeded, was you take like Cheers, you take Frasier. He was there. He was a guy. But there became a good story. They finally, you know, they built over years, a great story about him. And his show went off and did great. So you have to let it happen organically. And I just think that's what he's saying. Hey, we're going to introduce characters that we'd like to see. Just got to let it go. And honestly, they need to build, because they're not going to do movies for a while. They need more and new. I don't want to see retelling of other stories. I want to see new from Star Wars. And yes, I'd love to see like some old like throwback stuff, but guess what? Those actors aren't there anymore. Those actors can't do that thing anymore. So we have to build new and fresh. And if that's his plan, that's his plan.
Well, let's hope. I mean, you know, being as they don't have any comic books or any of the kind of reference material to look at, you know, I know it's going to be very tough for them. So just saying.
So I have a question for you. Sure. You are our resident Whovian.
Sir, yeah, that'd be me.
So I have to ask you, because I've seen it a lot in the news and I can't really talk about it. But the state of Doctor Who since the new introduction of the Dr. Jodie Whittaker, what is your opinion? What is, because I'm seeing a lot of viewers, a lot of viewership has dropped. I think nearly for this beginning of this season, they've almost dropped like nearly 1 million viewers in this season alone. What is your, do you see it? Do you agree? I mean, you're our Whovian. I don't know. I can't speak to this, but to me, it's brought up some interesting things, and like some strange controversial things have happened behind the scenes because of this. I don't know if anybody heard that. Rotten Tomatoes, like they deleted reviews because of Doctor Who. So I'm just kind of curious on your side of it.
Well, I'll give it to you in like two parts. I think Jodie Whittaker as a doctor is fantastic. I think she's great. She's probably going to be up there with one of the, in the Doctor Who lore as a great character. The problem is when you do that, you know, and they've been teasing it for a while as to make it to a female, and they've been saying it for years. They did it with the Master first to test the waters, and then they eventually pulled the trigger and they did it with Jodie. And I think what you're missing now is you're missing those little teenage girls who are looking at like a teenage sort of icon, like, oh, he's a good looking dude, like a Matt Smith. Doctor Who was at its zenith level, especially in the United States, with the popularity when Matt Smith came on board, because he was a good looking dude, right? He's the doctor. Oh, you know, and look, girls are watching. It's mainstream now. Now you're doing the whole thing. Eventually he went back to being the old guy, and now he's a woman. I think that was too dramatic of a pull for some of the for the audience out there. They're like, I know they've been clamoring for it, which is kind of crazy, and I don't have an issue with it, but I think it's just like some of the old style Who fans are like, wait a minute, it's a woman now? The Doctor's always been the Doctor. Why is it a woman? And I think it's one of the things you've seen those viewerships, they're dropping. Like, the stories are fine. The Doctor Who always is going to have that formulaic storylines. They always have had it. It's the witty, the dialogue, and everything the Doctor does is zany. But you don't have that sex appeal. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. I mean, Jodie's a good-looking woman, but you don't
What about the companions? Did they not bring a male companion in?
They brought, like, a female and two male companions in, and like, an older guy. And like, they're fine, too. And their dynamic is good. I just think, like, you don't have that resident, like, oh, it's him. Like, oh, who's it? Like, in years past, we always like to see who's going to be the new Doctor. Who's going to be the new Doctor? That was always the biggest thing in BBC. And there was always, like, these top-tier talent always attached to it. It never happened. They always go for, like, the thespian-type actors in BBC or supporting roles. Like, you're going to be the Doctor. And when Jodie came on, I just think she walked into a kind of a landfill. You know, well, Peter came in and like it was slowly going down when Peter got in, and then Jodie came in, and then it's just like, so it didn't start with Jodie. It kind of started with Peter, because when Matt left, you know, the writers were like, you know what? We want to go to the old style Whovians. And the thing about it is, with Doctor Who, guess what? We already did the old time Doctors. We want to move forward in life. You know, keep the Doctor young. And they were like, okay, we're going to keep the Doctor young, but we're going to make her a woman now. Like, oh, you know what? We'll hold off on that. And I think that dramatic change for some of the Whovians out there is something that they don't dig. They don't like the change too much. And that's why you're seeing viewership going, it's really tanking. That's bad when you lose a million viewers. You got to figure out what's going on in the lexicon of the fandom right now, because the fandom is keeping that show alive. It has for, like, you know,
years? I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, they're still getting 409, you know, 0.9 million people watching. It's not like it's tanked, you know, but it has lost, I think, since from the first episode to now, to the third episode of season 12, it's lost, what, 710,000?
And that's why they're bringing these old school characters back. I mean, like, little spoilers, if you guys haven't watched it, like, Captain Jack came back this year. They brought the Master back in this year. They're bringing the Cybermen back this year. They're trying to bring all these old things just to get those ratings up again, because they're kind of like, they're not desperate, but, you know, they're borderline almost there. And
I mean, it is a tough time. It is a divisive time in culture. So I understand, you know, why they probably did it, but I was just kind of curious, was it her, was it the stories? I also understood that one of the places I was reading about Doctor Who, trying to, you know, bone up myself, but they were talking, usually the first year of Doctor is, you don't get a lot of those repeat people, because you're building to learn the Doctor. So do you think that's what they're doing? The first season's over, you now learn who she is, now let's throw everybody in that the old Doctor always
there's had. There's always growing pains with a new Doctor. That's always been the way.
Right.
Like, it's the same way with Whovians it'll be until the end of time. Like, if you got a Doctor you've seen for a while, oh, you know, he at the beginning he comes in, oh, he stinks, I like the other guy better. But towards the end of the run, oh, I loved him. And they're like, who's this new guy? Oh, I'm going to hate him. And then eventually, guess what? Oh, I love him. Why is he leaving? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It'll be the same thing with Jodie too. Like, oh, I don't like Jodie. Then when she leaves, oh no, please don't leave. I love Jodie. It's the same. It's just the same formula thing with Doctor, with Whovians out there. Gotcha. And they're just having a tough time with a lot of things. And it's just going to be, see where they're going to go from here. You know, story writing, you know, I think is on point. It's always been on point with Doctor Who. They always have solid writers, and the acting is always on point. So it's just a matter of, can you accept it? You know, I mean, do you think after Jodie leaves, you're going to go back to a dude? They probably will. They probably will. I think they will. I think for them, this is like, you know, hey, we did a woman thing. Now we're going to go back to what's working for us. And they're going to go back to the young Studley Doctor things, which has worked well with David Tennant, with Edelson, Matt Smith. And I think that's where they're going to go after Jodie leaves.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm sure they're going to go back. I don't think they're going to continue. But all right, cool. Next one I have is, there's a show that you and I did a full show on, and it's getting ready to end. 15 seasons, Supernatural. We are in the middle of the season right now. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, middle. We're episode 11.
Episode 11. So we're at the halfway point. my curiosity is, because I'm not the Supernatural guy. I stopped watching them about five seasons ago. Just the retelling of the story over and over again. But if anybody wants to check our archives, we did a full Supernatural episode. Went nuts. Just nuts. Went for hours. No, just joking. But it was one of our longer episodes. But my question is, because that's the reason we did it. We did that Supernatural episode because this season is the last season. And I haven't heard squat about this show. This is supposed to be their swan song, and I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any guest starring. I haven't heard about any great storylines. And when I say this, I'm saying this in general, but I'm also pointing a finger at you. You're a big fan of this show, and you haven't even come to me going, "Hey, Mike, man, you got to check this out. You got to see what they're doing. What's happening? Are they just whimpering away now? Is it not turning into this big, great thing that you and I kind of were hoping season 15 was going to be? Because I haven't heard shit."
You know, when an old-time band, let's just say the Police got back together, and, you know, they did a couple years ago, did some stadium tours. What are they going to play? They're going to play all their favorite hits when they go on tour, like all their big songs. And this year for Supernatural has kind of been like that the first 10 episodes. They're just like, you know, they're playing their hits. First 10 episodes, like, hey, we did this. We came from that. A lot of flashbacky stuff, a lot of stuff. Oh, remember this from season 5? Remember that from season 2? We haven't gotten to the meat and potatoes of the season yet, and I think that's not going to happen until the last 5 episodes, okay, to be honest. That's what I think they're doing, because you're fighting God this season. Not much you could do against God right now.
Well, I don't know. I thought Vince McMahon put on a damn good match against God.
Oh, yeah. That was a legendary match.
Sorry.
Go Vinnie Mac.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if you wait to like the last 5 episodes, I think it's going to kick into high gear.
Okay.
Right now, they're just going formula by numbers, because you're right. I have not mentioned them at all, because
I haven't heard.
Hasn't been really anything interesting. I mean, you had.
What surprises me, this is their swan song.
You had Adam come back for the one episode, which was pretty cool to see him come back. But that was probably the best episode of the season so far. But again, Adam came back to talk to his brothers, and then he was gone. I'm like, you know, is he going to come back? Probably, because he's got to talk to God, I think, eventually. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought, you know, this is, you know, it's probably one of the longest running, you know, shows, and just nothing's happened. It's just,
I think that
it's not just you. I haven't heard anything from anybody else. I've got two diehard, you know, Supernatural sweaties at work, and like one of them, her office is decked out in Dean and Sam's stuff, you know, calendars, and she's got little, you know, Funko Pops. So, and I haven't heard anything from her. It just, to me, I'm like, man, this is the last season. I thought they would go out, you know, shooting the guns off, you know, blowing the.
Yeah, I thought so too, but it hasn't happened. I think they're just holding all their hardware for the end, I think. The last 5 episodes, like, oh my God, what is happening?
Why would you wait the last 5 episodes?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. You know, you have 20 episodes. You got to make some fillers. I mean, if it were me, I would go balls to walls 20 episodes, but I don't know what they're doing.
You got to make everybody miss them when they are gone. It's one of those things. So, all right. Well, that is the end of the admissions ward. All right, folks. Actually, we're going to go ahead. We're going to end the show here. There will be a bonus episode this week because we're pushing on time right now. So Legends of the Long Box is going to be on a bonus issue here this week. So we'll go ahead and close out the show. I want to thank everybody for downloading, subscribing, like always. Make sure you guys check us out at heroesasylum.com. In about a month, we will be going to KaiserCon, having our own booth there.
KaiserCon!
So make sure you guys get your tickets or get, you know, ready to get out there. It is March 20th and 21st, Friday and a Saturday. We will be out there having fun and saying hi to everybody, doing a mini show while we're out there.
Bring us a drink or two. Yep. Bring us food.
Come on out and say hi. There's a bunch of people. We got the 501st going to be out there. Bunch of authors are going to be out there. Check it out. They are on Facebook. They are on our page as well. So go ahead and, you know, link over to them. But yeah, check us out there. Check us out on Facebook, or not Facebook, our heroesasylum.com. You find all of our episodes and our links to every podcast.
Mm-hmm. Twitter at the Heroes Asylum. You can tweet us up there. I mean, I'm always on Twitter, so checking stuff out, posting stuff, or, you know, just been latest news things. Instagram. We're still on Instagram. I haven't done a lot of stuff on Instagram. It's coming. Trust me. I think the con We'll provide some new Instagram moments and stuff. I think that's where we're going to unleash the Instagram monster on there. And as always, from the captain to me, to you, to everybody else, get your butt to the asylum.